It's April 29th. 29th. It's April 29th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 30 of Free to Play, NitroBeer.com's premier podcast, tonight sponsored by Comics Alliance.
Oh, that's not good.
Money went.
No?
Yeah. You might want to have you cashed the check yet? Because you probably really want to cash the check.
I didn't hear from corporate about anything yet. So
you should probably cash that check because we're probably not going to get paid.
All right, hold on. I got an email. Oh, son of a. Oh well. All right. I'd also like to note that NitroBeer.com is temporarily down right now.
And by temporarily, we mean permanently. Permanently. Yeah.
Because we're no longer getting paid to do this.
But we weren't getting paid to do this to begin with, so.
Maybe. Yeah, we sure weren't.
Hey, wait,
none of us were getting paid, Mark.
Yeah, right? That.
Yep.
Oh, good.
That's a real shame, though. I'd seen people often link to Comics Alliance stuff. I guess they were owned by AOL or something. I didn't even know
that.
I'd just like to point out that, okay, now, admittedly, I don't follow comics terribly much, but it seems like there wasn't a bigger independent site than Comics Alliance. Was there like number two site?
Here's the thing. Comics Alliance is part of this massive collection of AOL blogs.
Right.
Some point, they bought up Joystick and bought up a whole bunch of other blogs corner the market on. Yeah, they sort of tried to do Huffington Post before Huffington Post did it right by just buying existing blogs. So Comics Alliance has been part of this confederation of blogs that AOL owns for years. And I forgot where I was going with this.
This con.
I had a point here and I forgot it.
We should sell ourselves to AOL.
You're not going to find another. Because it was all built on AOL's technology, you're not going to find a bigger, more well-developed blog.
Right.
But comic book resources might have been more popular.
Right. Where do you think like Comic Vine would be in that? Because that's basically, I know Comics Alliance, I know Comic Vine, and that's basically through message boards of other people who like follow comics.
Isn't Blues News, is it Blues News?
That's Door to Explore, I think. That's replayed.
Oh, wait, shit, no.
Did
I say Blues Clues?
Yes.
You said Blues News.
I didn't say Blues
News. Then Mark, for some reason, said that's another childhood TV
show. You said Blues Clues.
No, you said news.
Yeah, I think that's
because I remember thinking that sounds a lot like Blue's Clues, but is it? So I'm going to avoid
it.
Then Mark just dove right in.
To defend Door of the Explorer.
Okay, I want the viewers out there to listen to this right now and realize that I'm
they
right.
They can't listen to it right now, Mark. I don't think
viewers right now listening to this.
Mark, how do you think?
Okay, A, not viewers.
Yes.
They're listeners.
The
B, I could just edit it however I wanted.
You can insert your imitation of me.
You just say the word news at any point, and I'll just put it over clues. if that happens,
News
actually.
Clues. Brian News Clues Belita.
News Clues is actually a good blog name
news
to get
clues.
Bought by AOL.
Yeah.
Imran's editing is also how I came out to the NBA last week, so it's really good.
I understood that reference.
I did too. Oh, man. Sports, right?
Sports.
Yes.
Sports ball. Anyway, about Comics Alliance, where do you think it will? There's not a bigger one, right? Sure, they have more, the most people.
Well,
and that, was it enough to like keep them alive, or is AOL just looked at this big portfolio of blogs and realized, we're just going to cut this into off entirely?
There were other blogs that may have had more subscribers, but the other comic book blogs I know about are all based around that sort of get it first, breaking news, break the story as soon as possible. Sort of mentality of doing news. Comics Alliance did more editorial and more in-depth review.
Right. The problem with news from like a comic site is that all the stuff that the mass media or mass market would be interested in is superhero movies.
Right.
And all that's covered by like Hollywood websites.
Yeah, but
they cover that stuff. Like that's where most people are going to go for information on, say, Iron Man 3.
And that's why when you go to something like Comic Book Resources, there's a ton of movie information on the front.
Right.
I'm looking at Comics Alliance now, and as the very first thing is Robert Downey Jr. in the cast of Iron Man 3.
That's the very last thing, too. Seriously, like they're not posting any more stories ever again.
Yeah. Which explains why there's no, hey, we're shutting down message.
There are other sites that are probably large, that have comic book coverage stuff, but they're I don't think there are many that are just only, because I think a lot of those sites do a large number of things in addition to yeah, comic
like,
books.
I would imagine the Onion AV Club probably does comics, but probably do it horribly like they do everything else.
So, yeah, but the thing is, you're not going to find another comic book site that has a month or weekly article like I'm David,
right?
Where no David Brothers writes an editorial piece about some topic he's been thinking about for the week related to comics, or ask, what is it? Was Chris. It just called Ask Chris? Chris?
Yeah, Ask Chris.
I can remember it was
Ask like Chris Sims is the only reason I actually ever visit that site.
Oh, go back in the archives and read the I'm David articles. They're really good. There's only like 10 of them because he started doing them this year.
All right, never mind.
The thing is, my interest in comics is so tangential. Like, I can't remember the last time I ever read a comic book, yet I know almost everything about current arcs and where everything's going and who the new Spider-Man is and what just happened to his family. And
nobody's happy about anything.
This is all picked up through osmosis. Yeah. So the question is, why do I need a website?
Yeah. Well, David Brothers started the I'm David set of articles in February for Black History Month, and a lot of it was about how none of the current comic books at DC or Marvel have any black writers on them at all.
Right.
And it's a lot about how the industry has not been very accepting of black writers and, you know, all the different race relations issues. Because it's a whole series of articles, so it's not just that topic. Like, he expands. He takes a real good, in-depth, critical eye.
But maybe that thing would be better served by having more eyes on it at, say, a Gawker site than Comics Alliance.
Would they say why they shut it down or why they were shut down?
Yeah, it's apparently been doing really well, so...
Yeah, one of the editors came out on Twitter and said that he could only say four things. And, like, the first one was thank you. The second one was that anyone who thought that this had something to do with the criticism against DC Comics doesn't understand that Time Warner sold AOL more than a few years ago.
Right.
So Time Warner no longer owns AOL, therefore criticism against DC wasn't going to get them fired from AOL, ever. And then the other stuff was, yeah, we wish we had fixed the typos. Yeah, we wish we had said a goodbye. And that that's all they can say so far. So apparently it sounds like there's a gag order, or not gag, but it sounds like there's...
an NDA or something.
Yeah.
Just, it's very cold. Of course, this is AOL, so it's going to be cold and corporate, but it sounds very cold and corporate and kind of the opposite of what you would expect from the ISB. And most of the blocking in general, it's like you get a very personal, intimate relationship with guys like Chris Sim or the rest of these writers. And then you realize, oh, wait, the only way any of this makes sense on a monetary level is for a corporation to own it. And at some point, the corporation is just going to decide to cut off the faucet for no reason that you can ever discern.
I mean, I'm going to say that you probably can't have a website dedicated to one thing, but you can. It needs to make a lot of money.
Well, that's why it's part of a conglomerate. Like Gawker Media is several dozen sites.
Right.
And the
same with Polygon and Vox Media.
Right. But I'm saying, like, even though, say, Giant Bomb's owned by CBSI, this is an inevitable fate for every site like that that's so personality driven.
Right.
If you need subscriptions to continue doing what you do, then you're probably not going to be able to do what you do very long.
Yeah, right? That's why I figured Comics Alliance would be relatively safe. Being part of this whole system means their overhead costs are very low because they share a lot of resources with a lot of other sites.
But being part of that system also means at some point a suit is going to decide that, okay, they're making us money, but we can probably use this money to make more money, and therefore you're going to get cut off.
I guess. Who knows what the actual decision came down to.
And you'll never know. That's the sad part. But we will probably never actually know.
I'm going to have to start following some... I'm going to have to find a blog to follow so I can find out what happened to this blog.
Insider information.
Yeah.
Yeah. How far deep do we have to go? Like, probably Chris Sims wouldn't talk about it because, you know, it might endanger future opportunities. But
I
you'd
think
have
Chris Sims was technically freelancing for...
Yeah,
Comics Alliance. So he is not going to want to burn any bridges because he can still pick up freelancing work wherever he wants.
Right.
I like Chris Hansen because he recognizes that Mortal Kombat was bad.
Damn you!
Sweep the leg.
I forget, what was Chris Sims' stance on Injustice? I know he understood the actual story to be absolutely the most horrible thing he'd ever experienced, but I'm not sure what.
See, I disagree with him there, and maybe we can save this for later when we talk about Injustice, but I have read far worse stories in comics.
Yeah, but was it involving like B characters, or is it involving the people like Chris Sims has dedicated his life to, like Superman and Batman? He would expect something. If you could bring those characters together in one storyline, he expects something amazing.
Better question. Did it involve Superman punching a pregnant Lois Lane into space?
No. I haven't
gotten... Because that's what Injustice has.
I haven't gotten that part of Injustice to know that that's how he killed her.
It's the prequel comic that came out a couple of months before.
Oh, okay.
I like that in the game they just say that he killed her. That's all I need to know.
So, okay. So in the prequel comic, the Joker convinces Superman with Scarecrow gas that Lois Lane is
pregnant with Lex Luthor's baby.
No, that she was Doomsday or something, and he surgically inserted a nuclear switch into her that sets off a bomb in Metropolis if she dies. So when Superman punched her into space, killing her and his baby, Metropolis also had a nuke going off into it because of him.
That,
so he was crazy.
That, by the way, kind of
what
makes
in the
sense.
Fuck?
Superman is not powerful enough to kill Doomsday, so the solution for Doomsday is always just to send him off into space.
Right.
So he's just floating.
He just floats around.
So my problem with all of this is that everything you're describing has, like, the Justice Lords, all of that, has been done in previous DC things, most notably Justice League, the cartoon, but way better. And not ugly.
I just want to point out something, guys, looking from the outside in. I basically know about as much of comics as Imran, but Imran's actually, like, watched, like, the cartoons and such.
Fucking love those cartoons.
Of course, suits keep ruining them. But it seems like it's way too easy to mind control Superman, because it seems like every single story involves Superman being mind controlled, and then, oh shit, we had to fight Superman. Is it just me, or is that all the stories involve that?
Well, that's the problem you have with Superman, is that as a character, he's invulnerable. So the only way you can create some dramatic tension is how much damage is he going to cause, or what's the opportunity cost? Yeah.
Well, okay. I can't remember the name of the arc. There's a really great Justice League arc, Identity Crisis.
Yeah.
Where
there's been like 20 Identity Crisis now, so I don't know exactly which one.
Well, this is the one where Batman has secret files about how to take down each of the members of the Justice League in case one of them turns against the group.
Yeah.
Okay. And somebody gets their hands on those files and also the identity of all the Justice League members and starts going after them in their personal lives. So that kind of lays the groundwork for why Batman has a way to stop Superman when he goes rogue. That's kind of in continuity canon.
I just always assumed that, because Batman always is going to have a plan. So it's okay, Batman's going to solve this. He's going to have like some kryptonite or some shit. It's not a huge deal. So I watched, read that Frank Miller comic, where he fights him in the future, where he's an old man, where Batman is an old man, and he has the Dark Knight Returns. Yes, the Dark Knight Returns, yes. He had a plan then, he has a plan now, everything's going to be fine. So regardless of if you do control him, it just matters if Superman is going, Batman is going to be willing to kill Superman, because he can.
See, why not just mind control Batman?
Then we're all doomed. I'm going to assume he has a contingency
mind control plan.
Yeah. He also apparently had a contingency plan for going insane once, because somebody tried to drive him insane.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Which led to that alternate reality, crazy Batman subconscious.
Right.
That exists only in his mind to kick things in his mind.
There was an episode of Batman Beyond where somebody was trying to drive Bruce Wayne insane by like whispering things into his ear. They couldn't hear, or he couldn't see them. But his whole contingency plan for that was he doesn't call himself Bruce.
Oh, I remember.
So
that.
That's why he knows he wasn't going insane.
Huh. Well, did you guys see? I tweeted these earlier, but they put out some screenshots for Batman Arkham Origins. Speaking of Batman,
they did. I aggressively don't care about this game.
I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I love Batman. I love Batman games. But
I don't think I need another open world Arkham game.
Right. Okay, let me qualify what you just said there, Brian. When you say you love Batman games, do what you actually mean is you love like three Batman games?
Which was the one?
The New Adventures of Batman and Robin on the Super Nintendo / Genesis.
Yeah, which was the one that you could wall jump?
It was that. I'm pretty sure that was New Adventures of Batman and Robin.
So the NES Batman.
No, the NES Batman.
No, the NES. No,
and the NES one.
Yeah.
The NES one was awesome.
Yeah. There was a Japanese company made that. I forget exactly who it was.
Over here as Sunsoft.
Well, yeah. Arkham
Asylum, but yeah, go on.
Here's one of my reasons that I am looking forward to this game is that ever since Arkham Asylum came out, one of my good friends Sam and I pretty much get together on any Batman game release, and we just stay up all night and we just plow through it, just kind of playing hot seat, swapping the controller back and forth, and just have a good time. So that's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to this one, because come October, I know my friend and I are going to set aside a day, you know, like a day and a half or two, and just burn through the entire game and hanging out and having fun.
I can certainly see that. Have you done that with every Batman game? Because surely you would go insane.
Well, like, not, I mean, we did it with Arkham Asylum and with Arkham City. So
okay,
should do it with Batman Forever on the N64.
Yes.
Was that the game where you could just keep hitting kick button and like you'd never lose anything?
You could rack up a 650 hit combo before you just get tired and walk away.
Yeah, I could believe Batman would do that. Sure, that's probably realistic. For Batman.
Just spend the entire night just kicking one guy.
Yeah, just keep him in the air. Depends if he wants to kill or not.
I think it was made by the Killer Instinct team.
Okay, yeah.
So great. It focused on combos, but a big problem was that they wanted you to get big combos. So once you got a combo going, they just send unlimited spawning enemies after you.
Oh, great. So was this a 3D game or like 2D or what?
This is pre-rendered sprites, Final Fight style.
Okay.
So Imran, why don't you care for the new Batman game coming out?
It was a boring Arkham Asylum, or not Arkham Asylum, Arkham City was a pretty boring open world game, and maybe these guys are better at making open world games. I don't know, but at the moment, I'm just going to assume they're worse.
I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting to see a different developer's take on that formula, if they're going to deviate at all, which I feel like they won't, simply because the last two games have been very well received. Excuse me, by and large. But
sure, but I think there's also number one, the entire thing feels very B team, because it just obviously it's not NetherRealm. I don't want to say NetherRealm. Rocksteady is not working on this. They're working on something else. So
which I'm excited about. I'm excited that Rocksteady hopefully is maybe doing something.
Well, they're doing like Batman Arkham whatever for next gen.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure it's gonna, like
that's probably a good point.
There's no way they're not going to have them making a new Arkham game.
The idea is to just have them reboot like comic franchises just continually and then just spin that out to somebody else. But I will say that it seems like WB is the sort of company who would, okay, so they established like a fan base for the first two Arkhams and they say, okay, for the third game, we have it set up. We can just start churning these things out. It does seem like they might.
Oh no, are you saying Batman Arkham X is going to become the new Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, I could see that happening. Yeah.
Batman Arkham Factory.
But at least they're leaving Batman, like 18 Arkham Brothers. It's not yearly, so maybe that helps.
If that Scribblenauts rumor is true, then I don't think WB actually knows what they're doing with their superhero games. Like, they had the Batman idea, and then beyond that, it just,
that's because they haven't found the Spike Lee of video games.
You just got to throw off that link I sent. You
know, yes, I did, yeah. I don't know what that link's about. No, well, I don't know, and it's, you know, and it's the same thing that I see. I think one of the complaints I hear about Batman Arkham Origins that I see a lot of times with like the new Superman movie coming out. It's like, oh, it's Superman's origin story. How many times can we hear this retold again and again?
But this time he has scales.
He has.
See, okay, I also don't care about the Superman movie for the same reason I described earlier. Superman being invulnerable is just. It doesn't make for good movies. I never liked the original ones where he would just, you know, fight Zod and turn the world around and all that crap. And that last one was just god fucking awful.
It was boring. It was enormously like, boring, which is kind of weird considering all the talent they had at their disposal. And it revolved around like Lex Luthor stabbing him in the gut. Just, oh.
And Cyclops being cuckolded.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the main plots.
Oh, look, it's Penguin.
But he doesn't have the stupid monocle now. So.
Yeah. Well, and
you know, I would be way more excited about for this if it wasn't open world. Like, if it went back to the smaller, like, focused, well-built Arkham Asylum, which is amazing, which is a joy of level design and exploration.
That's it's a nice guided experience. I mean, I can appreciate both. We'll see.
10 assassins coming to kill Batman could work in open world, but I don't think they're going to do it the way I want it to, which is just they come out of fucking nowhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
It would be cool if they did it that way, but I'm sure what's going to happen is Batman fly to the spot, cutscene starts, there's an assassin.
And you're locked into a certain area.
Yeah.
It would be awesome if they handed a Batman game off to the sorts of people who made things like Rainbow Six, where you do have to prepare for a mission ahead of time.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I think United Front Games could make a really good Batman open world game.
Because
they made Sleeping Dogs.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, So here's when we said about, you know, you run and you hit a spot and there's a scripted sequence and you get locked into there. Have there been any games that have, like, let's say you run in, you find a boss that have just let you run away?
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls is a good, yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Crackdown, you could do that. You could, like, jump into the middle of, like, the enemy gang territory and say, well, this is screwy, and then just jump away.
You know, because I'm still playing through, working my way through Darksiders 2 right now. And, of course, you know, anytime he's like, oh, look, there are the holes in the ground where the spike gate is going to pop up and lock me in to fight a boss.
Yeah.
That's always a huge problem with both of those Darksiders games. You know exactly when the fight's going to start.
There are a ton of games that do that, and I think what drives me nuts is I'm usually a very cautious adventure game player.
Right.
So I will go whenever I can. I will move while crouched or blocking, you know, just in preparation for the next thing that's coming up. Or like in the last story, you can activate something to aggro the enemies to you to keep your party safe.
Right.
So I'd walk around with that activated before I get into the mission. The problem is that you can see once I go through this door, the door is going to automatically close behind me, and then I'm going to be locked into a fight. But the problem is that there's a cutscene.
Right.
So I lose all of the stealth I had been maintaining the whole time.
Right, because it just resets your status or whatever.
So that your characters can just bumble into this cutscene and the door closes behind them.
Yeah.
That's also just, I, of course, don't make games, so maybe I don't have the right to say this, but it seems like very lazy development. It seems like the devs saying, okay, we need to set up this fight in this certain way, otherwise it's not going to work, which is very weird for like an open world game, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, there are obviously some that do it well. Like, I'm just thinking about Half-Life 2 and that first escape sequence when you're running across the roofs and you kind of, you know, jump over a thing and something falls away behind you and you're in this kind of torn down building and you have to fight one of the helicopters because, like, that's your only way out.
Well, you know, you said we mentioned Dark Souls allowed to do that before. Dark Souls only allows you to do that if you've already fought in that area. If it's like a new boss area, like you walk into like the white light, you can't get out of there.
You do get locked in there. Yeah.
But it's a nicer thing where like you're just walking around and, hey, there's a boss, as opposed to you're walking around, cutscene trigger, cutscene finishes.
Yeah.
Now you and the boss are staring at each other from across the room.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and you don't have your original weapons, by the way. So screw you.
it is. I don't know. There are times that it works, and there are times where it's just like, all right, I'm just really frustrated with this formula.
That also like I'm frustrated about Arkham City, because again, Arkham Asylum, it was very well crafted. It was linear, no doubt about it. But there was a lot of exploration and linearity. It seems like they wanted to have it both ways with Arkham City. They had this open world, but then you had these little instance sequences where when you had to fight Two-Face, it was like its own little level in of itself. Which isn't really an open world game at that point.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I think open world Batman makes sense if you're actually in Gotham. If it's not, I mean, all you really did was take away the rails. Not rails isn't the right word, I guess, because that has negative connotations. But all you did was take away the hallways from Batman Arkham Asylum and put them in a big open world. It didn't really reflect a different design philosophy. Yeah. If you put it in like actual, if it was Batman GTA and you were going from rooftop to rooftop, looking at actual people driving around and people being mugged and
I'm thinking back to when we had Larry Griffin, who is one of the devs of Moon Intern on the show a while ago.
Yeah.
And their game is set up in a way that they're kind of like daily digests. So every, I don't know if it's every day, but you work your way through kind of different days with random stuff happening. But I think there is almost kind of a different menu, you know, random stuff happening every day that you can get to. And I wonder if that formula would work well with a Batman game, because one of the main appeals is being Batman. And, you know, I can see the appeal of, you know, actually going around Gotham and trying to find crime and stuff. But
that was, like, every time they make a Spider-Man game that's not about Spider-Man swinging around the city, they immediately have to go back because that's the only thing anybody wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which they need to at least try that with Batman.
No, so yeah, I would really love to see a Batman game where, you know, you actually have to patrol the city and yeah. You see, like, oh, you notice something and it's a clue and, oh, fuck, the Penguin's doing some shit. And,
or like you read the newspaper and say, oh, shit, the Penguin's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of thugs. You might want to do something about this.
Oh, and then you could use Kinect and be like, Alfred, bring me my orange juice.
Like, the best parts of Arkham City were the parts where Zaz would just call you randomly on phones,
yeah,
and you'd have to like trace where he is, or when I think it was Deadshot shot somebody, and you were trying to gather forensic evidence from place to place. Granted, they were just basically, you know, go to this place and do this thing, but
there was
they at least took advantage of that open world idea,
and there was a sense of urgency, at least with the Zaz stuff, definitely.
Yeah, the Zaz stuff terrified me. I played like one Zaz mission and realized this is too much tension in this game. I never played one again.
So what we need is like some of the minds from Telltale games, like some of the guys behind The Walking Dead, and then, I don't know, GTA or whatever, to come together so that we could have conflicts like, oh shit, Batman didn't save the mayor. And then now there's this whole different thing that kind of arcs off in that. I mean, we're thinking, yes, okay, the best fucking game in the best world with the best shit, and there are tons of fucking possibilities and consequences. And
then it would
alternatively just go all 60s as hell and make it like Batman Brave and the Bold. Just completely self-aware of how cheesy and crazy Batman used to
running
be.
Running away with that bomb over your head.
Yeah. Or pre-angst Batman.
Or ditch that and go with 80s Wolverine. Where he just kind of hangs out in clubs, smoking cigars, and then shit gets real, and he has the snicked and kills some people.
So basically Max Payne 3, but with Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I play that game.
That's what Max Payne 3 was. It wasn't really a Max, it was a Wolverine game in disguise.
That's why they need
to... That's imagining, like, those words that appear on the cutscene just say snicked bub over and over.
Snicked bub. It's just like Rex Shepard.
But that's why they need to ditch the idea of doing Spider-Man, Superman, or Batman. Because in an open world, it's really hard to do a superhero game. It's just really hard because they're just way too mobile. Whereas Wolverine can't fly, can't swing, and usually doesn't want to go on a huge long chase. He just wants to fight.
Yeah.
Well, there was that Wolverine Devil May Cry like that.
Apparently it was pretty decent.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty repetitive. But the second half of the game is basically the first half repeated.
So it's Devil May Cry 4.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just a palette swap. So I just want to mention that apparently Shadowrun Returns is up on Steam now, which is cool. It was one of the games that was kickstarted by Harebrained Schemes and stuff, and it's up there now. So you should go check it out. I helped kickstart it, and I'm really excited for it. Sorry, I just needed to mention that.
No problem. While we're on the Kickstarter and Greenlight stuff, did Divekick ever get greenlit?
I don't know if it's been greenlit yet.
Oh, you still voting for it?
As of last Thursday, I don't think it's been greenlit. Okay. So.
Did I tell you guys that I voted on everything on Greenlight the other
Just everything?
Yeah.
Oh, so you got that. I didn't mention that. Okay.
So you're just destroying the system.
Yeah, apparently. I'm sure there are more now. But yeah, I voted for a lot of shit because I just like kind of have it up and... You know, and I vote, look at a thing, vote for it, and go do some other stuff, and then come back.
Yeah, you guys should have all your games put out. This whole Greenlight thing is kind of stupid anyway. It's not cost, well, maybe it's costing money to keep this stuff on the servers, but, you know, just let us decide. Don't let the community, let us decide by buying what we want to buy. The community gatekeepers decide, you know?
Right.
You're actually one like an iOS type thing where pretty much anyone could put whatever up there and just
with better curation though. Like I think Steam can get this right. I mean, Valve rather could get that right. That's the big problem with the iPhone curation. There's just none there, and you just had to plow through a whole bunch of crap. If you can get that right, then you don't need the Greenlight stuff.
I think this is them saying that getting it right is basically impossible. The smart thing for them to do is, you know, go on maybe like Amazon MTurk or something. and like just have people that you trust to actually curate this sort of stuff. Pay them $5 a day to go through it all.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know who kind of makes the decision.
It used to be Valve that had to do it themselves. Like they had people that probably should have been making games that were doing this.
Yeah.
Yep. Video games.
Do we want to talk about large, very large breasts?
Throbbing?
Are you reading your email?
Why are they so concerned with increasing my breasts? No.
Now, are we talking about the, like, very large chests, or are we talking about very large scripts? We can talk about two very large things.
Large tracts of land.
We can't talk about large tracts of land because that's probably copyright. Written.
I don't think Monty Python owns that set of words.
I don't know what that was.
Trucks of land.
No, all right. Well, anyway, yeah, Dragon's Crown. I guess that was a thing that happened and had people in a hubbub.
All right,
I kind of missed out on a lot of it.
The way this worked is Jason Schreier of Kotaku wrote a pretty insulting article saying, like, whoever designed these Dragon's Crown designs is 14 years old. Which, you know, if you don't like the art, that's fine. I don't disagree. I think that's kind of grotesque in a way, right. But to call the character designer a 14-year-old is pretty shitty from someone with that big a readership and that big a soapbox to stand on.
Yeah, it did seem very, very easy. And like you said, insulting. I'm of two minds about this. One is, this is all Vanillaware does. It's like, if you're just now aware of Dragon's Crown, then you haven't been paying attention like Odin Sphere, you hadn't paid to Miramusa, or like Grim Grimoire. This is what they do.
Right, they do hyper-exaggerated, but really good art.
Mm-hmm. The head of Vanillaware and their main artist, because obviously the head of Vanillaware is their artist, George Kamitani, responded that to Jason Schreier saying, this is probably something you would like better, and it was machine translated, so it's a little, it's open to interpretation what it is he actually said, but it included a picture of three naked dwarfs.
He drew the big buff naked dwarfs.
Yeah, so the initial response from a lot of people is, did he just call him gay?
Right.
Which, I mean, if he's gay, that's fine, but if he's using it as an insult, that's really shitty.
Yes.
Or maybe he's like showing, okay, this is other art from the game. Yeah, so it's not just about like big boobied women, it's about
also
this
dudes.
Stuff.
Yeah.
That's one interpretation, but that's, I'm going to go ahead and say that's the one I don't believe.
Yeah,
yeah.
He explained that assessment. Like, later he said, you know, that's what I intended, that I drew this art before. I just wanted to show I could draw men too, which...
Fine.
You don't believe people who tell you things of their intentions after the fact, because if they can lie to get away with it and it's basically unprovable, then they're going to lie. Because his email finished with something like, please, our email index holdings and Atlas if you want to continue this or something, which means to me that I'm pretty sure the publisher took him out behind the woodshed.
Yeah, you might have a good point.
It would be very appreciated if you could please contact Index Digital Media, Inc. if you plan to make anything related to this matter, include this email and do an article.
Yeah.
So if he was wanting to prove that, say, okay, we have some diversity here, then, you know, I'm of the opinion that Vanillaware has the best sprite work in the industry. Like, especially since we don't see Treasure around anymore doing anything for whatever reason. I think Vanillaware is at the absolute top of the form in 2D art. This beautiful, lush, this gorgeous 2D art. It's a shame that they feel the need to like go down to this base level of like sexuality, but they at what they do, they are the best. So if he wanted to like show himself, look, we do other things, then show him some more of this amazing art that Vanillaware puts out just constantly.
I mean, they shouldn't have gotten involved in the first place.
They shouldn't have. They should just let it go. Because, you know, it's whatever. Yeah. This guy's talking about boobs and Vanillaware. It's probably a good advertising for them.
There's already a plan in place to handle that, and that's the fact that they're doing a video for each of the characters.
Yeah.
So like, they could have at any point pointed to the other videos and said, this is just one of many characters.
Yeah. And maybe the design isn't great, but people will vote with their wallets, so... Just let it get out there. And avoid all that negative press. Go through PR if you have to.
Yeah. Well, sure. It seems like Dragon's Crown is going to have problems of its own. It's just you're trying to sell golden axe. And don't get me wrong, probably the most beautiful golden axe that's ever been. But you're trying
those little
to
fucking elves that would steal your shit.
Those fucking elves. But you're trying to sell that for however, probably a premium price because Atlas already said that selling for $40 is just not feasible.
Probably trying close to, 30, but yeah, it's almost certainly going to be 60.
Yeah, you can't do that. Okay, I understand that it takes a lot of money to do what they're trying to do, but that market might be gone. It's like this is a downloadable game. This isn't something you sell on disc for $60. I know we wish it was. I personally wish that we were still in that industry, but we're not. Oh,
that's the thing. Ages ago. I would pay $60 for a game with this artwork, mm-hmm. but not necessarily Golden Axe with this artwork.
Yeah, it
might have to be a totally different game for me to want to play it.
Yeah, that's also it's a very simplistic sort of game. It's beautiful, but also very simplistic.
I mean, the elephant in the room here is that Vanillaware just doesn't make very complex games. Muramasa was okay for what it was, mm-hmm. but at some point you're realizing that you're just going through 60 screens of the same thing.
Yeah,
yeah, but at least it was fast and it was fluid. It's enjoyable to play if repetitive.
They're not awful designers. It's just that they don't have the necessary number of people to make enough content for a full game.
Sure. Yeah.
And Odin Sphere is even worse than that because Odin Sphere was this like 12 maps that just continually circle back upon themselves because they're literally just scrolls.
Yeah, Muramasa pads itself out with a lot of repetition that just didn't need to be there.
Yep. Anyone here play Grim Grimoire?
No.
Negative.
That thing was awful.
Okay.
Yeah, that's...
Wasn't it like a RTS? No, it wasn't RTS.
Yeah, it was kind of an... I don't know. I played for like half an hour and just realized that this was absolutely crap. But yeah, it was like an RTS. It's like a 2D RTS. You're like inside this like Hogwarts sort of like magical school and you're fighting on different like levels of that school, like different floors. And yeah, it was a mess.
I would love to see a Vanillaware 2D sprite-based golf game.
I would love to see Vanillaware provide all the artwork for someone else's game.
Yeah, like if WayForward were to make a game and say, hey, Vanillaware, why don't you come on and do the art for us? I think that'd be amazing.
Bring a whole new meaning to Great Gianna Twins.
Oh, no. Do they have that? Is that a WayForward joint?
That's not a WayForward game.
No, but... I was sorry.
It's Great Gianna's sisters.
Yeah.
Right.
Just get it right, Brian.
Look, for the purposes of my joke...
Sisters would have worked fine.
Sister, yeah, all right, fair enough.
Pig.
Break. Let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Yep.
Break.
We're back, baby. And I'd tell you what I was talking about, but I don't have enough man out to tell you what I've been talking about.
3 out of 4 of us have not been stung in the dick by a wasp.
Nicely done. I thought I could get it, but next.
Spoiler, the what is Brian?
Shit. Oh, I was gonna just make a big question. I was like, who could it be? Who got stung in the penis by a wasp?
Well, who of us does outdoor things aside from Matt, who like builds like fences?
It could very well have been Matt, but he was building his fence.
No, I wasps got poison ivy out fences. Of that equation.
Oh man, that's no
probably
fun.
Probably not in his dick.
Probably not, yep, in the
hopefully
the
not.
Junk area.
So Brian, tell us about the Southern Maryland cock wasp.
All right, so the Native American cock wasp. I was playing golf with my dad this past Saturday. This is what I've been playing. I've been playing Take Care of Yourself. At the 14th hole, I popped into one of the porta-johns there, and that'll teach me. You just go out in the woods, apparently, is what you're supposed to do. So I popped into one of the porta-johns on the course, and I start whizzing. And all of a sudden, death from above and behind me, this wasp just dive bombs straight at my junk. And I, of course, I think I was quick on the draw. I whacked. And of course, I'm midstream. So I'm midstream and I'm just peeing everywhere.
It's hitting the crossfires.
I think I managed to hit it before it actually got off, but there was penetration. So I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. And of course, my dad and the other guy we were playing with are hearing me just cursing up a storm and stomping around and flailing inside this porta-john.
and like something like or a squirrel jumped in there.
Yeah, and so I think I'd hit it and it's done, and so you know I continue just sitting there going, oh, what the fuck did this actually just happen? What the actual fuck? And then it comes back and it stings me in the pinky, and I hit it again, and then I stomp it, and that was the last of the wasp.
Number one, that's a vengeful wasp.
Wasps are nature's asshole, really.
Yeah, they provide nothing to the community of nature.
It's like, no benefit. But people
like pollinate some stuff. What does a wasp do?
My first thought was, okay, this is going on a Cards Against Humanity card alongside a snapping turtle biting the tip of your penis.
Yeah.
That was my first thought. My second thought was, I kind of want to Google this and make sure I'm not about to just die.
Yeah.
And so I Googled it, and what I found was apparently there's a contingent of people who use wasps for temporary natural male enhancement, what I found out. Yeah.
I'm going to assume that, number one, of those people were insane and bored, and two, it's probably a different sort of wasp.
I have no idea. All I know is I was like,
how did you even find this out? It's like, dude, hey, we're bored. Let's get some different types of wasps and insects, basically, and let them junk and see what happens.
Well, it's the same question I ask about a lot of things. Like, who was the first person who decided, I'm going to eat this round fucking thing that just came out of this chicken?
I think you probably
eat a chicken.
Yeah, well, I think probably what happens is like they can see like another animal eats like a chicken egg or whatever,
and
drinking milk.
Yeah,
true.
Well, that's
sort of fucked up when you think about it.
That has some bearing in nature. I mean, humans produce milk. That's not too strange to think about. Yeah. Think about coffee. I'm going to take these beans off this tree, roast them over fire until they become rock hard, then grind them up, and then pour water through them, but don't actually mix it with the water. Throw it away.
Oh, you're going to throw away then.
I naturally assume people were doing that to figure out how to get high.
Probably. Yeah, all of our answers are...
There's just one guy going around, right, I have to smoke or eat every plant.
let's remember, like before like the invention of books or the internet or anything, this is probably what people did to pass their time. They thought, let's take this plant and do things with it until we can like ingest it or get high or make a drink out of it. That's probably what they did.
Yeah, but like, so I mean, I kept tabs on my penis, and you know, and how I was feeling. I was very mindful. There was Jesus. Oh man, so there was hand sanitizer in there. So the second that happened, I pumped a handful of hand sanitizer and just I just tried to clean the wound.
Were you worried about like the wasp having herpes or what was going on?
I was worried that I might get a wasp STD of some sort. but no, I mean, I ended up being okay. It did swell a little bit, not as bad as I was thinking. I was worried. I finished out the round. And,
that sounds like a sitcom thing. Like there's another woman around and your wife's like, what's going on? Like, I swear to God, it was a wasp.
You have to suck the venom out. It's the obvious joke. I know. I'm sorry.
I was avoiding it.
Yeah. Bulge in your pants. And she's just really pissed off. So what's going on?
No. So, I mean, just, you know, if you get stung in the dick by a wasp, you'll be okay.
I just want to point out you are extraordinarily lucky because it's highly unlikely this wasp just hang around in the port-a-john. There was probably a nest in there. And you were so lucky that like swapping this guy around didn't like set off his like pheromones to bring his buddies in to just like kill you in the port-a-john.
Yeah, I think there's a wasp living in my car because like I was driving down the interstate and I saw like one just hanging onto the rear view window. So I was like, or the side window.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm just going to move the window around to try to get him out of there. Like, maybe just knock him off or something.
Yeah, right.
All it did was open up enough space for him to crawl in.
So, oh, good.
So every time I turn on the air conditioner, I'm afraid that he's just going to, like, gonna burst out at me with, like, 300 of his kids.
Which, yeah, it's a queen. Congrats.
Can you now point out, like, with the past week or so of stories from you, Imran, I am terrified of your car. Like, it just sounds like a rolling house of horrors.
Yeah.
Well, there was that me bursting the tire a couple of weeks ago, then me getting rear-ended by a couple of people on Friday. And then this was the same time, actually. The wasp apparently just started to hang out when I was talking to the state troopers.
Well,
so once I was driving home, I saw him.
Well, the upside to the wasp thing is that it will just starve in your car.
Yeah, probably.
Unless
yeah.
it was a queen, in which case, yeah, it's got 300 of its kids just waiting for the next time for him to turn on the air conditioner.
Just sting you, just right in the...
A friend of mine had a rat living in her car, and she basically just, like, torched the inside, essentially.
It's like that, have you seen, there's this extrafabulouscomics.com has this, one of their comics is... It's just a bunch of spiders on a ceiling, and they're like partying, and you know, and like one's like a jock and walks up to this little one who's hitting on his girlfriend, and it zooms out a little bit further each time, and then it gets to a guy who's staring up at the ceiling. It kind of, you know, you think he's smiling to himself, he's just imagining the story of these spiders, and then the next frame is him smiling, standing at his house that is burning.
I would not know what like if my house just became infested, I'd just move.
You'd have to. You'd have to hire, oh shit, who was it in Arachnophobia? It was
John Goodman.
John Goodman was in it, but it was also the guy from Newsday, or what's it called? Newsroom.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway.
Jeff Daniels?
Jeff Daniels, thank you. Yes. From Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that was my weekend. But the rest of my weekend... Well, not the rest of it, but a lot of it was playing, as you know, in the last cast, I was talking about playing the computer version of Magic the Gathering.
Right.
And managed to rope in Mark now, who used to play Magic the Gathering.
I used to spend like an extraordinary amount of time and money like on Magic. Basically, instead of like finishing college, I played Magic.
Isn't this version cheaper?
It's nominally cheaper. It's only like $20, but
it's also...
inherently limited. Right. The big problem with this guy is, okay, so you have a set number of like, let's say a dozen decks. Yeah, this guy. You have like a set number of a dozen decks. And you can't like disassemble that deck and build other decks. You're kind of like stuck with like the unlockable cards you can get out of that deck, which is fine. But the biggest problem is you're set with the mana makeup. It's like it's always like 30%. You can't like take mana
Anyone that doesn't know how Magic the Gathering works, and I didn't up until when I started playing this.
Right.
You have a deck that is made up of kind of creatures and spells and stuff, but then there's also mana. And right. So you get mana at random, and you need mana in order to cast things, as with most other Magic or in video games and stuff. And so it's entirely possible to get a hand.
Right.
With just no mana, you just don't get anything, and you're fucked. And it seems really broken to me.
It seems like it's like playing like Magic back in the day. It didn't seem like there was this big a problem. I don't know if there was like something up with the random number generator in this game, but it does seem like you're either going to get like a hand, like an opening handful of like 4 mana, or an opening hand of no mana, and then you don't see mana for like 20 rounds. And there's like I wish I could like at any time just like take a look at the deck. And like, see where the freaking mana was at, because I'm convinced it's all in a lump at the bottom of the freaking deck.
Well, when you played in real life, did you play with mulligans?
Yeah, you can mulligan all you want, but you know, every time you mulligan, you like lose a card. So like your opening hand.
I don't mean discard.
No,
I mean mulligan.
Yeah, that's
like,
what
reshuffle your entire deck, lose a turn.
Yeah, well, not lose a turn, but instead of losing the turn, you lose the card. So, like, you start with your opening hand of 7 cards and say, well, I don't like this. For whatever reason, you can just, like, put it back in your top of your deck, shuffle it, and pull it again. But every time you do that, you lose a card.
After that, you lose a card, is the way the rules go. Yeah.
Until eventually you're left with 1 card.
That is not the way I...
No.
Is that actually in the official rules?
It was in the original rules. It was not in the original.
Because there are like cards you have to spend mana to reshuffle your deck.
Yeah. There are actual cards for that. Yeah.
And so we'll play, you know, we'll restart the entire game if, you know, just somebody has a shit hand. Of course, by doing that, if you're playing with 4 people, one of those might very well have another shit hand again. And for a game that's been around for so long, it just seems so broken. It would just be really simple to just have, okay, every turn you can place down 1 more mana. You just always have that option.
And
that way it's just a slow burn of your deck.
That's the entire problem with it. The game is so... When Richard Garfield sat down and invented this game back in the early 90s, no one knew how a collectible card game should operate.
Yeah.
So his concept of, okay, you have your mana and it's just randomly sorted through your deck. And they say, okay, that's fine. And like Magic became so wildly successful at that point, all those old rules that were baked into the game, you can't do anything with them because right. the game is based around that. If you start doing that, you would cease to have Magic the Gathering anymore.
Yeah, and it's a shame because mechanically, it's a really fun game.
Yeah, mechanically, and it's amazing, yeah.
But this one thing is a pain in the ass. This one aspect of luck can just completely ruin it and just make you miserable. Yeah.
That's why you need to be able to adjust the mana in your deck as well as the cards in it.
And unfortunately, in this version, you can't. It just automatically scales it according to the number of cards you have in your
deck. I used to have decks with 60% mana.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. It should be like 30%, like one mana for every two.
Well, and that sort of seems like the formula they have here, but
I'm convinced like the random number generated this thing is just screwy because it just you get mana screwed so often.
Yeah.
The thing, don't get me wrong, I love this. I actually really like this version of Magic. It's very simplistic, and like you know you're learning a lot of new things about the game I wasn't aware of before. Right. It does make me wish that they had an official solution to just have an online card game. They had this at one point.
Well, there is a different version that you can actually like buy the cards much like you do in real life, I think.
There's Magic Gathering Online. I don't know if that thing exists anymore or not.
I'm pretty sure it does. I think it does. Yeah. But anyway, so Mark and I have been playing a lot of that. And if you pick it up, I mean, if you have any interest in, you know, boards and card games, let us know and we'll... Yeah. We'll play with you. We've been playing a lot of Two-Headed Giant.
Some plane chase stuff. And some like just free-for-all four-player game. It's pretty fun. Like if you're playing like one-on-one, then you're kind of limited in like the deck building strategies because that's always going to be like speed. The game really becomes a lot more fun with more people in it. I remember back in North Carolina with my like group of friends down there, we would have this like 8-20-player games. You know, just enormous. Yeah. Things. They're just amazing.
Yep, but other than that, I have not been playing much.
I would have played Street Fighter versus Tekken because there was like I was watching the NorCal regionals and it's like, wow, like, and they had like Street Fighter versus Tekken stream up. I look and say, wow, this game is really improved. It's like, it's not like boring. It's like, there's still timeouts going on, not as many timeouts. And, you know, I always like the cast of characters in that game. So like, okay, I'm willing to buy this game. And like for 10 minutes, they had me. So I load up Steam and they still want $50 for that freaking game off of Steam. Whereas like brand new, like for the 360 or PS3, they want like $20.
That seems odd.
Yeah, that seems very, very strange.
Capcom doesn't drop prices on Steam games.
Yeah. Well, they like Street Fighter like 4, the version of Street Fighter 4, it was down like $17 during the Steam sale. So that's one.
But that's like 4 years later.
Yeah, it's 4 years later. And also,
I guess part of it is because they already might have had inventory of it, and so they just need to sell it. And with Steam, that they're not, you know, they don't lose anything by leaving it at a high price.
Also, I'm pretty sure they've mostly moved past Street Fighter Cross Tekken at this point. They put it out there. It didn't work.
Yeah. Right?
Apparently, Darksiders 3 didn't work either. So it may be the last that worked. Well,
Stalkers.
Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Don't be pedantic about game names that are different franchises from each other.
Pedantic.
Deus Ex. Yes.
What about you, Ron? Tell me about Deus Ex.
Oh, anything else that you've been jamming on other than Magic, obviously?
No, that's been pretty much it.
Imran, anything new?
I've been playing Anarchy Reigns, which is the platinum multiplayer brawler that came out a couple of months ago.
Right.
I haven't taken it online yet, but single player is really kind of not good.
Yeah, that seemed like a hard sell in the single player thing, which is sad because it's a platinum game. It should be like one of the very best games, but they made a multiplayer, basically a multiplayer only game.
Well, it's as a multiplayer brawler, it's surprisingly fun.
Yeah.
Like even though I haven't taken it online, I can tell when a game has decent
mechanics.
Not to say, well, yeah, mechanics basically. That this would be fun to actually do.
Right.
But the structure of the single player is just completely boring and bullshit.
So what is this single player game in that?
Yeah, basically multiplayer maps are made up of small sections of an open world area.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just given like the whole open world area when you go to a place and you take the mission. Mm-hmm. But missions only open up by points. So if you didn't make up enough points by getting, say, a platinum grade in the last mission, you have to just either do a mission over again or fuck around and beat up guys for nominal amounts of points.
That sounds like a lot of busy work.
Yep. I mean, it's not even necessarily busy work. It's just boring.
Yeah. How is it compared to, like, you played Mad World, right?
Yeah.
How is it compared to that?
It's not even nearly as structured as that.
Wow. Because Mad World is basically, when you break it down, like an arcade game.
Yeah. If this were more like Mad World, it would be better, probably. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing that Sega probably didn't give them a ton of budget for this game.
Yeah.
So it is story-wise a sequel to Mad World.
Really?
Jack is pretty much the main character.
Okay. So how much do we learn, like, is, like, in continuity in the Platinum universe? Is the entire Platinum U part of the same universe, or did just...
No, it's just the Mad World stuff.
Okay.
Like, Bayonetta's still DLC and not at all mentioned in the single player.
Oh, that sucks. I was hoping for a big shared universe with Platinum. Oh, well.
From what I gather from the GameFAQs boards for this game, Bayonetta's also pretty broken.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
Yeah, she's the strongest one by a decent bit. But yeah, I'll probably take it online and see, but...
I can't imagine the communities are there anymore, you know?
Well, for this kind of game, I feel like it's probably going to be more likely that there's, like, one guy just coming logging on every day to body a bunch of people, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But I paid $13 for it, and I guess that was an alright price. I'm glad I didn't pay $30, because I like Platinum games for the single player.
Right, yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna... If Bayonetta 2 has multiplayer, then okay, but if it has multiplayer at the... sacrifice of single player, then that's going to be shitty.
That's we didn't bring this up during the Arkham Origins discussion. That's something that bugs me about that, because that thing's going to have multiplayer.
In fairness, they've been trying to get multiplayer in since Asylum. They just haven't had time.
Okay. But it's just like a B team. They're going to shove multiplayer into this. I don't see why multiplayer would work or be fun in this.
What they should do is they should have stalking rooms that everyone competes for the villain or the grunts, but they're all different Batmans.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
like you mean like Val Kilmer Batman?
Yeah,
George 60s Batman, George Clooney Batman,
Russian Batman,
Batman.
It'd be like Batman Shattered Dimensions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just the worst day for henchmen ever. just quit.
You know, Hideki Kamiya tweeted something the other day that if you're playing Wonderful 101 for the length, then you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't make long games, which it sparked up a bit of a thing about game length and what's worth $60 and what isn't.
Well, you take a look at Bayonetta. Don't get me wrong, Bayonetta was decently long from what I remember. I think it's like the first playthrough is like 8-10 hours. I can see that decent.
A lot of that's skill dependent. Like, yeah. I could run through the game in maybe hour and a half.
Yeah, like now, if like put it on medium and like I just sit there and like go through every level, I probably get there in like 2 to 3 hours. It's not a huge deal. But the first time through, it's kind of an ordeal. But that's kind of the point of a platinum game. You're being scored. These are in kind of the modern equivalent of arcade games.
Like, if my judgment of a platinum game is how many times am I going to play it?
Yeah. Yeah,
and if it's 6 hours long, but I play it 3 times, then I've gotten my money out of it.
Right. Sure, like I've got my money. I've been at it plenty of times. I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of hours plugged into that.
Like, I don't regret for a second paying $60 for Bayonetta. Yeah. On the other hand, I don't regret paying money for BioShock Infinite either, and I finished that game in like 8 hours.
Yeah, like I finished in like 12, and like I tried to play a 1999 mode. Probably not going to finish that. I think there's an acceptable length, a perfect length for a video game. It's hard to judge because it's going to be different for every person.
Like, yeah. If the game feels complete at the end of it, then that's fine with me.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Don't get me wrong. Like, if like Prince of Persia, Sands of Time was my perfect example of this. It was like 7 hours, and I wanted it to be more, but it was 7 hours. I loved every minute of it. It didn't outstay its welcome. That was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, if
meanwhile I'm feeling Luigi's Mansion 2, like that's a really charming game. There are parts of it I don't like that much, but it's charming. Yeah. It's just, in the original Luigi's Mansion, everyone said that game was so fucking short, and it was. It was like 5 hours long, mm-hmm. and this is like 13, 14.
Yeah,
but the difference of a perfect Luigi's Mansion is somewhere in the middle, and definitely not as far as 13, 14.
Yeah, and then there was the issue of like a Resident Evil 6, where who knows if that would have been better. Okay, probably every last one of those campaigns is shit, but probably better received if it wasn't like 30 hours long.
Yeah. If they focus on making just like Leon's campaign like a really nice tight 12 hours,
yeah,
that would have been a better game.
Yeah, like Resident Evil 4, how long do you think that? I don't think there was a timer in that, but I wouldn't say Resident Evil 4 was more than 8 hours.
I'd say definitely more than 8 hours. I'd say probably inching towards 13, 14.
You think?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's not as short as 8 hours, but it's not.
I mean, granted, I got 40 hours out of that game too. Right. Speaking of BioShock Infinite, in 1999 mode, I started playing that again, and I'm not going to finish because God, fuck that mode.
Yeah.
But I had no idea theft was a mechanic in this game.
Yeah. If you try to steal, like, I think there's only like a couple of areas in that where it happens, but yeah, theft is totally a mechanic.
Like, no, it's a stupid thing is when something you can just take shows up like on the screen, it's in white text. When it's something that you're stealing, it's in like whitish pink text.
And it's weirdly like arbitrary. It's like normally in this game, they don't really mind if you go to somebody's purse and just take everything out of the purse, even when the lady is sitting there.
Yeah.
But if you go behind like a counter or something, like you go behind the wrong counter and just take like a candy bar off the shelf, everyone in that room will kill your ass.
Yeah. It's like none of you have vigors. Who's going to use this salt but me?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just I didn't do that the first time. I didn't pay attention because I always just shot everybody.
Right.
And so that theft mechanic just doesn't matter on anything below normal or below hard.
You know the biggest bullshit about 1999 mode? The achievement for defeating the game on 1999 mode is not for defeating on 1999 mode. It's for beating it on 1999 mode without using a dollar bill.
The vending machines that give you...
Yeah.
Ammo and stuff.
Yeah, like you can use the other vending machines, fine, but you can't use the ammo vending machines. That is just, number one, that's sadistic. Number two, there's nothing to indicate this. So I started my 1999 mode like 3 hours in before I realized what was going on, and I can't remember if I used a dollar bill or not. Now I don't want to play anymore because I don't want to play those other 3 hours because they're excruciatingly difficult.
That sounds like how I was getting screwed in Human Revolution because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the intro apparently counts for kills.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either, and that was a little disappointing.
Yeah, so I realized that after, and I couldn't remember if I killed anyone in the intro or not. But these games, when they do this, because there have been a number of games where if you kill anyone at all, ever, you're blocked out of the Chivo. But they won't tell you this in the process of the game.
Yeah.
So, like, in Dishonored, it's entirely possible for someone, like, completely unrelated to what you're doing to die, like because they fell off a ledge or something, that counts as you killing them. You won't know unless you actually go up to the guy and look at him. And if that happens, you don't get the Chivo. That is enormously frustrating.
There should be some sort of buffer. Like, as long as you didn't intentionally kill anybody, you're probably pretty good.
Yeah. Or just tell me if I beat a game for the first time, okay, don't tell me about any achievements. But if I have a fail state, like if I kill someone, it should come up and say, you've been canceled out of whatever achievement. You have failed this achievement.
Yeah, there's plenty of right,
or at least
games that have like...
You need to turn that on of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Plenty of games have achievement tracking. Like it says, you know, you've done X things 45 out of 100. Why not just show the achievement thing and just cross a line through it?
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
it's
of course, we're talking about an extra thing that's, you know... but yeah, no, absolutely. If they're going to do that, I think they should tack something like that in.
Yeah.
So it's a shame about Mad World because, you know, you want to support Matt Platinum. You want to get as much of their stuff as possible. But, you know, seeing that like one of them is basically Power Stone with a very bad single player campaign is kind of disappointing.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? What have you been playing?
I've been playing Injustice.
Gods Among Us.
Gods Among Us.
Can I just say that's the worst title for anything?
Yeah.
Like, ever?
The title should have said something about DC Comics in some way, shape, or form.
Like, just call it Batman vs. Superman. Done.
Yeah, I get that it's an oblique reference to the Justice League, but that's very weak.
What was the name of that EA game, the crossover where they tried to get their own stuff? Like,
what?
I know what you're talking about. Let me look it up.
Yeah, it also had a terrible name that had no indication of what it was.
Nemesis, Rise of the Imperfects.
Yeah, there's no way of telling who's in that freaking game.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't even remember that.
The Imperfects were a bunch of EA original characters. Because they were originally going to be like actual EA characters. Like there was a football player to represent Madden or something like that. And then for some reason all that stuff was cut.
Yeah, so the Marvel Nemesis: Rise of the Imperfect. So the only way you would know anything about it is the Marvel Nemesis.
Yeah, at least it says Marvel. It's not like it says DC Injustice.
Right. But then again, there's no way of knowing, oh, by the way, we're taking this Marvel game and shoving it full of a whole bunch of crap you don't care about. But anyway, Injustice.
So, yeah, that is basically a Mortal Kombat game. It plays like a Mortal Kombat game, including sweeps and roundhouses.
It really looks like it, too. I saw a video of it earlier today, and it looks like it's that same very rigid Mortal Kombat style.
It is very rigid. Oh, my God.
Does it have that Mortal Kombat thing where you like you punch a guy and then like there's a split second delay before you like finish the rest of the combo?
Not really, like, but stiff? It definitely it's not like a Street Fighter type of game where when you want to execute a combo you actually have to have some timing with your moves.
Mm-hmm.
You just put in the button sequence and it does those in order.
Ooh. Oh, that's terrible. That's Killer Instinct did that. That's terrible to hear.
Well, did Killer Instinct do that? I thought Killer Instinct required you to actually press the button at the appropriate time.
No, this Killer Instinct, you just like, tap it in, yeah.
Yeah, if this one's high, low, like if those are the attacks you have to do, you just hit X, X, Y with no timing whatsoever, and it just does that combo.
And with no way to cancel it?
Well, if you don't land the first hit, it's going to do nothing.
Okay.
But if you land the first hit of the combo and then you just dial in the rest of it, it doesn't matter if you do nothing. Unless, is there like a counter function in the game? Or
there is a reversal, but the reversals require you to hit such a tiny window for timing,
right?
That really they're only useful for the computers. It's not like a Street Fighter game where you hit forward to parry an attack.
Right.
You have to do a special move the instant after somebody hits you and you blocked it.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's awful.
I have to imagine, like, with online lag, too, that's probably nearly impossible to pull off. Have you tried playing it online?
I haven't yet.
Okay.
I want to get through the single player, because what does work with this game is the story mode.
Okay.
The story mode presents a pretty okay for a comic book story. It is definitely a weird-ass Elseworlds story, but it works.
Okay, so what is the story? How do they explain why Harley Quinn is capable of fighting Doomsday?
Okay, first of all...
Superman particles.
Yeah.
This takes place in an alternate universe.
Of course.
Right off the bat. Uh-huh. In this alternate universe, the Joker... Yeah, we went through this in the beginning. The Joker gets Superman to kill Lois, which then also detonates a nuclear bomb and destroys all of Metropolis.
Before going on, I'd like to say that I like that it's not enough that Superman has to like kill his own pregnant wife. He also has to blow up his city. It's like, I think one or the other would be enough to like drive him nuts, but go ahead. Yeah.
So Superman decides to then take a zero tolerance policy against all bad guys. So he starts... He forms a one world government between him and Wonder Woman. And that one world government rounds up bad guys and either kills them, imprisons them forever, which that's just stupid, or somehow...
Because we know how imprisoning forever works out in DC. They're out in a week.
Yeah. So, of course, he decides not to kill Doomsday. He puts a collar on him that's supposed to control him, which you know is going to backfire spectacularly.
Of course.
But in order to enforce all of this, he has an army of soldiers. Superman has an army of soldiers. And he gives that army of soldiers a Kryptonian super pill that gives them basically Superman's power.
Oh, that's
Superman particles.
Stung by a Kryptonian wasp.
Yeah.
Pump dick.
So basically when all of the not super strength people end up in that world, they end up taking the pill so that they don't
get super pill
instantly by the thousands of people who did take the pill.
Are there like 7-minute long ads advertising this pill?
No, it's supposed to be a secret. Lex Luthor is a good guy in that game. Like in the alternate universe, Lex Luthor never turned to crime, so
right. He
helps Batman.
So the thing that gets me about that is that that's the laziest every comic alternate universe crossover bullshit they always do. It's that, what if this one guy, if it was just a series of decisions that led to him being evil, when he could just as easily be really good?
Yeah.
So Superman, he institutes this one world government. He decides he's tired of the supervillains ruining everything. He's just going to kill them. Why is the Joker still around?
He came, 'cause
that'd be the first guy.
From the main continuity. Like, he was killed in the alternate universe. The Joker you see in the game is the one that was pulled over from the main continuity. Because this also involves some characters being pulled from main continuity into the alternate dimension.
Now, from main continuity, you mean like DC Comics?
Yes.
Okay.
So they get pulled out of main continuity into this alternate universe, and they are trying to figure out how to get back. And then it turns into a series of misunderstandings, and now they're enemies of the state. And the state is Superman.
It's Superman. And yeah. Superman.
Oh no, we're stuck in a shitty fighting game. How do we get out?
So the thing that works really well with the story mode is it gives you an excuse to try all the characters.
Okay. And, well, Inkyline kind of did that. Yeah.
They make good story modes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that the industry could learn from them. And I think Capcom's even said, like, hey, maybe we should do more single-player content looking at, like, NetherRealm stuff.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is that it's continuous. There's no load time you have to worry about. It doesn't really break the flow of the game. It jumps seamlessly between cinematics and fights.
Right.
And you only really have to fight 3 or 4 fights with any one character before you're on to the next one. Okay. So it's not like old school Street Fighter where you'd pick one character and try to play through the whole game.
Go through 10 fights, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. You really do. It is the sampler platter of this game.
Yeah, I want to say MK9 basically did that too. So it's good to see that they're using on other stuff. Who winds up being the final villain in this guy?
Don't know. Haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
It's
probably Bizarro Superman.
Or
I hope
Doomsday. Superman's going to lose control over Doomsday.
Can we Superman riding Doomsday? Piggyback.
See, the things everyone praises about this game are things that, like, I feel like I, just having seen DC cartoons all my life, I'm already familiar with. It's like people are saying, oh my god, the Flash runs around the world and punches somebody. It's like, I remember when he did that in the cartoon when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, now he does it whenever you execute a super.
Yeah, also, those things seem really long.
Yeah, you only get one of them. You really, really only get one of them a fight.
I wonder how it's going to work out in tournaments, because I know they really don't like long, drawn-out cutscenes in the tournaments because they take forever to get a fight done, and they only have like a couple hours window. So I don't know how that's going to affect.
They're really no longer than any of the Capcom super moves.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue different. Like, if you compare, say, Marvel's like level 3s against the ones in Injustice, there may be 3-4 seconds in Marvel.
Yeah, most of them in Injustice are maybe 5 or 6. I mean, they're not that bad. What's really bad are the level transition moves.
Yeah. I think that might be confusing them for.
And then through the wall and it transitions to another arena. That takes forever. That fucking sucks.
Just watching, it wasn't the NorCal, so I don't think it was NorCal, but the tournament they had in Virginia, where they had, like, the actual, like, testers for the games, like, in the middle of the tournament. And
Civil War.
Yeah. And there's this one guy with Aquaman. It's like, if they, like, based a comic off that Aquaman who's just basically a god with a trident and you can't get near him, maybe people would like Aquaman.
Yeah.
My interest in this game is, like, almost purely academic.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to play it, but I guess I'll watch a video or something. What system did you end up getting it for?
I got it for Wii U.
Have you played online or?
No, but I mean, I played it on. I've just been playing the story mode. I only got it yesterday. But I was playing it on the controller and then on the TV. Which I'm happy to say the controller lag is not so bad. Like when you're playing it on the controller screen, it's almost unnoticeable. And I have like one of those TVs that has game mode where it cuts out all the signal processing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real difference between the two.
All right.
I can't wait to see your show notes about my WASP experience, if they're even in there.
Maybe.
Turns out that it's just a white Anglo-Saxon person woman who was in the porta potty with you.
Aw, oh, dang. I was saving that joke for the summer.
It'll just be a surprise.
Wasp at a golf course. Never.
Oh.
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 All right, so until next week, watch your dicks.
Until next week, watch your dicks.
Or vaginas.
Thanks, AOL.